an honor. Again, I always like to say that because every time we're together, it is an honor and a blessing to be together. And it's an honor and a blessing to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 13 is where we'll be tonight. Acts chapter 13. Starting in verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on the wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, David served his generation by the will of God. Sovereign Almighty God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. This is speaking of our mighty King. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe, there's a clause, all that believe, not for those who don't believe, but all that believe, are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul has been in the synagogue in Antioch since verse 14 of this chapter. And Antioch was the capital of the Greek kings of Syria. A little bit of historical background. And afterwards, the residence of the Roman governors of the province which bore the same name. So it was a capital city. It was a capital city. And it's richly connected with the history of the Apostolic Church. Jews settled there first in very large numbers and were governed by their own leadership. Something I didn't know until studying for this message, that they were given self-government there. And they were allowed to have the same political privileges as the Greeks. The chief connection with Antioch is, turn if you would to Acts chapter 11. The chief connection with Antioch is it is connected with the spread of Christianity among the heathen. Here, the first Gentile church was founded. Look in Acts chapter 11, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. They believed and they turned from their idols unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And look in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Here the disciples of Jesus Christ were first called Christians in Antioch. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Antioch has a connection with the establishment of Christianity to the Gentiles. And it was also from Antioch that Paul started on his three missionary journeys. So let's look at our text, though. It'll be in verse 38 of chapter 13. So that's just a little historical setup for us for the message. So Paul's preaching in the synagogues, or in the synagogue in Antioch. And that goes, one commentator said, that goes to the in Romans where it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul always went to the Jew first. He always went to the synagogues and preached in the synagogues. Acts 13:38. The first point is this. Salvation is only found through this man. Now we saw on the weekend that we have one refuge, and that's Christ. He's our hiding place. Well, here in the New Testament now, we see in verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, and only this man, nowhere else, salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nowhere else. And it's plainly stated right there in our text, isn't it? It's plainly stated. Through this man. Not through Mary. Not through Muhammad. Not through anyone else but Christ. And only Christ alone. Paul in verse 23 tells them that this man spoken of in verse 38 is Christ. Verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So this man's identified in verse 23, and he's mentioned again in verse 38. Through this man. See, remember, Paul didn't have the New Testament, did he? So he's expounding to them Christ in the Old Testament. He's preaching to them Christ in the Old Testament. So we know, based upon this scripture, that salvation is only through Christ. It's through no other. And there's also no other need of any other way of salvation. Except in Christ. This man, the man Christ Jesus, satisfied God's law of justice in the sinner's room instead. So there's no need for self-justification. Right? No need for works, because he did it all. No need to try to gain merit and favor before God, because Christ did it all. Salvation's not in our doing. It's in what he's done. So through this man, and only through this, not through your works, not through praying a prayer, although the Christian prays, don't we? Of course we do. We cry out to God all the time. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And there has never been a man such as this man. There has never been a man such as this man. And there's never been a man that said words such as this man. And there never will be another man such as this man. God manifest in the flesh. Man, like you and I, fully human. But inside the nature, inside him, the Godhead dwelt bodily. Scripture declares. God in the flesh. Fully man, and yet fully God. Through this man, the God-man, Christ. And him alone. He is the brightness of the Father's glory in the express image of his person. This man, the King, the crucified, risen Lord. Through this man, the God-man. Let's look at our text again. through this man is preached unto you. This is why it's vital to preach Christ and not 16 ways you can better your life or how to have a better marriage. It's not about that stuff, is it? Not at all. Not at all. I remember when I was in religion, you know, how to live a victorious Christian life. Oh, we just ate that stuff up. Garbage. He's got the victory. He did it all. See, I remember then when you tried to do that thing, I'm talking about me. You know, when I tried to do that, what would I do afterwards when I thought I did it? Well, I'm living. I just start boasting. There ain't no room for boasting in the gospel. None at all. We boast about Christ and about what He's done. This is what's vital. We must preach Christ. We must. The preacher has one message. Christ and Him crucified. The sinner's substitute. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. One message we have. Just one message. And that's Christ. Now, think of Paul. This man was a Pharisee of Pharisees, wasn't he? Trained man, like highly intelligent man. He could probably go toe-to-toe with anyone debating-wise. He could have probably went circles around people. And in my mind's eye, I picture this often, and this is just me, is he's going through Corinth, and he hears a talk over here about something, and he hears a talk over there about something, and he's got his, I'm determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. I'm not going to get involved in all that stuff. And look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Now, he could have probably flowered them with speech. He was trained in speaking and all kinds of things. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. But he said, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, man's wisdom. Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you. Here it is. Ting! Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the bell that he just keeps ringing. Christ, Christ, Christ. I only preach Him and Him crucified. That's the only thing that can save us. See, salvation only comes through Christ, and He must be preached. We must proclaim the gospel. If I tell you how to live a victorious life, that's not going to save you. You may become a more moral person, but it certainly isn't going to do you any good spiritually. But oh, if Christ saves you. Oh, so we have one message. And may we ponder the distinguishing nature of the blessing of salvation. It's distinguishing grace, beloved. He saves whom He will. It is said to be sent, preached unto you. You're here tonight by divine appointment. Anyone listening is listening by divine appointment. Anyone who will listen later on, it's by divine appointment. The gospel sent to you. Oh, may God give us ears to hear us, Brother Shepherd. Oh, may He do that. And hearts to receive His word. So it's by divine appointment that you're hearing the gospel. It's that the preaching of Christ comes to us by divine appointment. By divine appointment. And it's sent by divine direction. What also distinguishes it is that it's not based upon man's deserving. We don't deserve the grace of God. But He gives it to us in Christ, those who believe. If the Lord was to wait until a man had prepared himself to receive it, as religion claims, right? No one would be saved.
But the gospel comes to you. It's preached unto you. It's preached unto me. And think of this, when religious folks will tell us, you know, that, well, it's all up to you, right? How can anyone expect the dead to be made alive? How can a corpse get up? It's impossible. Can a corpse pray a prayer? Can a corpse walk an aisle? Can a corpse make himself alive? No. But just as Lazarus was dead, and Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, when the shepherd calls one of his sheep, they come alive. They come alive. Only by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, you must be born again. You must be. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11 and put your finger in John chapter 5 as well. This is why it's vital to preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must. Our great King said this, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Look at John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, you ever heard of the popular doctrine of justification by death? It's really, really popular in the world. Somehow, someone who lived like hell and did whatever they pleased, all of a sudden is in heaven when they die. No. According to this, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. It must be born again. Oh, the believer has faith in Christ and Him alone. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asks the question, believest thou this? Believest thou this? Oh, that should be born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, that should flee to Christ. And in John 5:25, I remember a grace preacher telling me that his father-in-law was saved with this verse. Sat for years under the gospel and didn't know Christ. Heard the gospel for years. And this is the very verse that he heard preached. And the Lord saved him just like that. Verily, verily, John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead spiritually, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, just like Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And remember, he calls his sheep each by name, doesn't he? Oh, it's wonderful. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It's not a question. We're going to look at that Sunday night. Folks say that folks can resist the Holy Spirit if He's drawing them, if God, the Holy Spirit, gets a hold of you and starts to turn you to Christ and you're one of God's sheep, you will flee to Christ. Can anyone resist God? I think not. So this is why it's absolutely vital that we preach the gospel. It's vital. We don't preach ourselves, because that would help no one. We preach Christ and Him crucified, the sinner's only hope. Oh, that it might be today, that anyone who's listening, oh, that it might be today, if you're lost, that you who are dead spiritually might hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Oh, We pray God would make it so. But we know it's only His doing. But that's our prayer, isn't it? For our loved ones. We don't know who God's elect are. Oh, that they might be made alive. So the first point was, through this man, and that's Christ, right? Is preached unto you. It's preached to us. What do we preach through Christ? The forgiveness of sins. It's preached unto you. The forgiveness of sins. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 5. Do you know that man is pictured in Scripture as a prisoner of sin? And it's like cords that wrap around us and bind us. Our sins are the cord whereby man is bound away from God. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. I remember a long time ago seeing this, and it just, oh, what a picture. What a picture. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. There's nothing that we do that doesn't escape the eye of God. Look at this, though. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins, bound up by our sin. Man has become a slave of sin because of the fall of Adam. And our captivity is not only due to the fall of Adam, but our own sin as well. We all know that, don't we? Thus, in our fallen state, we're presented as a prisoner, held captive by the cords of sin, bound up by our own iniquities. Romans chapter 5 says this, wherefore by as one man sin entered into the world, through Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So when Adam fell, we fell with him. But praise be to God. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61. Praise be to God. There's hope that we who are held prisoner by sin, shall be set free in Christ. The forgiveness of sins is preached unto you. How many of your sins? All of them. Oh. See, any religion devised by man, you've got to do something, right? And you never got to stop doing. You always got to keep doing. But we preach that Christ has done it all. He did it all. There's nothing for us to do. We believe, right? We look to Christ. He did it all, beloved. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted? Oh, Christ can bind you up. He can fill you with the joy of His salvation. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Are you captive by your sin? Flee to Christ. That's what we found, refuge and hiding place in Christ. Oh, isn't He? Hasn't He set you free from your sins? Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Remember, bound by the cords of our sins. Free in Christ. Set free. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, He might receive all the glory, right? And He might be glorified. We don't want to glory in what we do, because we didn't do nothing but sin. But we got a mighty Savior, and we glorify. We praise what He's done for us. So through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through his dying on Calvary's cross in the place of his people is elect. The gospel of the free grace of God in Christ is the message of redemption accomplished. It's accomplished. He did it. By the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ and Him alone. He accomplished what He set out to do. And what did He set out to do? To save His people from their sins. And He did it. He did it. Oh, it brings us joy. It is the proclamation of the free forgiveness of sins. And complete justification for all who believe on Christ. On the grounds of justice satisfied. In righteousness imputed. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But we receive the perfect righteousness of Christ. And it is a result of the divine act of justification of God's elect in Christ. The forgiveness of sins. There's no sin it won't cover. Sin won't cover. Now men may remember sin, right? We may remember folks that wronged us sometimes to our shame. But the great King remembers our sin no more. Far as the east is from the west. God. No sin it will not cover. And no hardness of heart, it will not overcome. So if you have a friend or a relative, you think, oh man, they're so hard-hearted. Well, if it's one of God's sheep, the grace of God is going to overcome that. Think of how we were ourselves. John Newton said, someone came to John Newton and there was a well-known drunkard who the Lord had saved. And this young brother comes in and says, Brother Newton, can you believe that God saved that man? He said, yeah. The Lord saved me. I can believe He can save anyone. Right? And that's the truth. We know what we are. But oh, we have a mighty Savior. We have a mighty, mighty Savior. So there is no sin it will not cover. May that just be, you know, we know what we are and what we've done, but there's no sin that the grace of God cannot cover in Christ. It's an absolute forgiveness. Absolute. Everything that God required of the elect for the salvation of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. There's nothing left. It's not, well, maybe He did it all, and now the rest is up to you. No. Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. All your sins. And this forgiveness of sins in Christ is gracious. And it's free from cost for us, but oh, what the Lord Jesus Christ went through to redeem us. It's a gift given to us. As I said earlier, we don't deserve it, but yet He gives it to His people. He bestows it upon His people because He's loved them with an everlasting love. And let us ponder that. An everlasting love from eternity. When did He love us? In eternity. How far back is eternity? Well, we know angels were created, right? Further back than that. We know the world and the stars and everything before us is created. Further back than that. In eternity. He loved his people with an everlasting love. And Christ is said to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this forgiveness is in Christ, the God-man. And it's a complete forgiveness. And this forgiveness of sins in Christ makes a man holy, right? We're set apart in Christ, as well as safe. Remember the rock we looked at in the hiding place? That traveler was safe behind that rock. So is God's people in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 36. This forgiveness of sins in Christ is absolute. It will not be revoked or lost by our doing. See, some in religion say you can have salvation and then lose it and get it again, or go off the deep end and get it again. No, if a person's saved, the Lord will keep them. And he'll desire to come and hear the gospel. He wants to hear the gospel. He wants to be with God's people. This forgiveness of Christ was a transaction made once for all the elect between the Father and the Son. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 31 to 33. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house Israel. Thus saith the Lord, look at this mountaintop. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in cities and wastes shall be built. Cleansed you from all your iniquities. Ezekiel 36, verse 33. In that day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. And look at, let's go back to Acts chapter 13. So, through this man, Christ, is preached unto us the forgiveness of sins, right? And then we'll look at verse 39. So the gospel must be preached. Christ must be preached and proclaimed because there's salvation nowhere else. This is why it's vital to preach Christ. We must. We must. We must preach Him. And look at verse 39. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things. Connect that with the forgiveness of sins. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. We cannot be justified by the law of God. All it does is condemn us. But all through Christ. All who believe are justified from all things. What wonderful news. What wonderful news. What wonderful words. Which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So we can come to the conclusion, therefore, that justification before God can never be found in the law. It can only be found in Christ through this man is preached unto you. forgiveness of sins. And here before us, we also have the responsibility of men. I remember an old preacher saying, if you go to hell, it's all you. You're fully responsible for your sins. But if you go to heaven, it's all God. It's all Him. It's all His mercy. It's all His grace. What would happen if there was no election? No one would be saved. So justification before God can never be found in the law. It can only be found in Christ. And the clause is all who believe. So, we preach the gospel to all men, don't we? And God does the saving. He does the drawing. But all who believe are justified. Look at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is this word of salvation sent. All men are commanded to repent. It is the responsibility of all to believe. This is why we proclaim the gospel. If you do believe, if you do trust Christ, you will be forgiven from all your sins. That's good news for sinners like us, isn't it? It's wonderful news. We who believe, it's wonderful. This is why we proclaim it. We know what we were. We know what we are. We know that the Lord saved us. And we marvel. We just marvel at His grace and His mercy in Christ. But if you refuse to believe, and if you reject the gospel and despise the Lord Jesus Christ, you're perishing your sins and spend eternity in hell. Look at the warning in verse 40 and 41 of the same chapter. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Oh, if you're saved, praise the Almighty God that He saved you. Because it's all His doing. Give Him all the glory. And if you're not saved, oh, may God, may He give you faith to believe. May He grant you faith, because that's what He did for us. He granted us faith. We were who were unwilling were made willing. Mercy beggars. And we come to Christ, oh God, have mercy on me. The sinner, what does he do? He has mercy upon us. He does. He not turn us away. Oh, it's marvelous. Marvelous gospel. Flee to Christ. Oh, may we just think on these things this week. That God is our refuge and our strength and our hope. And if you're one of His and you're in, He'll never lose you. Never. What a wonderful Savior. He says, I'll see you when it's time. We like that. We're going to close with that every Wednesday night, eh? So, because that's wonderful.